And if we can be in an attitude of prayer, please.
Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, open our ears to the truth of your word, that the testimony of Christ may be strengthened among us and the glad news of deliverance revealed. Today we are going to hear the word of God in the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called as an apostle of Christ Jesus, was God's will, and Sosthenes, our brother. To the church of God at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called as saints with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both the Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you Christ in Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in him in every way, in all speech and all knowledge. In this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You were called by him unto fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to live out our call. Father, let us pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, last week, I forgot to tell you that I mentioned that we're using the lectionary for a few weeks, but I forgot to tell you that we are in this series that I took off the Discipleship Ministries website called Glimpses of Kingdom. Is what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks is actually look at some of the famous scriptures from the lectionaries, and so we can be reminded what it means to live as followers of Jesus Christ. It's telling us, if we go through these weeks after Epiphany, is giving us a glimpse of our life, what it should look like as children of God. In the scripture today, thinking through it, I can't help but to think how timely it was that we are in 1 Corinthians. You know, when we think about what's happening in the life of our church called UMC, it's almost fitting that God is reminding us of who we are called to be saints, to be responsible. We're called, as the things we're saying, because Corinth, if you know to remember the story, recurring, Paul is writing these letters because he got complaining about, after he left there, after he spent about over a year with the current, and he went on into Ephesus, and now he's got complaint coming in that things are going away. They are in conflicts over and over. There are debates and what's right, who's to worship who, is it Paul, Apollo, or Jesus Christ? And it's a whole bunch of things coming in. And now we're in this space where we are questioning who we are as a church. They're questioning that was one church, but we as a denomination still questioning who we are, what God has called us to do. I just thought it's an interesting climate that we are in, that we are reminded of this scripture this morning. When Paul starts off with telling us, basically establishing his authority. I, Paul, was called, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ, called to do what's right in God's eyes. And it was twofold call. He said, you, the church of Corinth, you, the church of Wesley, has been called. You have been sanctified. The word sanctify, we always say it means set apart. But if it's do a little bit more study of the word, it kind of comes back as you're dedicated. Now you're dedicated to a new life. A life that speaks Christ to the rest of the world. The world that we still have to be in, but we have been set apart. So when they look at us, our lives, we should be, as the epiphany season, we should be the epiphanies into the world. The light that shines into the world that sets us apart. It's a twofold call. He's reminding us, though we are ordinary, but God has made us extraordinary as people look at us. Our behavior should be different. Thus, this set apart. But sometimes that's hard to see. Sometimes that's hard to distinguish God's people. To be holy people gathered with all those everywhere who call on the name of Jesus Christ as saints. He used the word saints in the translations, that we are saints called by God. Wouldn't it be nice that all of us have ST in front of our names? We got ST in front of our. When I read the whole chapter, which turn this on then. When I read the whole chapter, I'm reminded of when I had staff at PwC and I had to do my performance review. We're taught that you share some good stuff first about the employee, and then you go into what you need to tell them to improve on. I feel like that's what Paul is doing with this chapter. He's giving us this praise and reminding us to be thankful, reminding them who they are and to be thankful. And then afterwards, it's just also the scriptures, it starts to tell them, this is what I've heard. This is how you've been behaving. Let's do something about it. But this passage, it's talking about thanksgiving. I give thanks for you all. But it's key in this thanksgiving. He's reminding us that you, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because of all that we have been called and set apart and made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been enriched. You have been enriched. And didn't stop. They tell you, you lack nothing. You have all the spiritual gifts, all the wisdom it needs to live into your calling. You have everything. you will need to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Help me here. When you said yes to Jesus, yes to following this relationship, being in this relationship with God, you have something. You were in, part in you was his righteousness. Part in you was the Spirit. And be with that Spirit, I tell you before, now we've got something else. We're on this path. The word he used was sanctified. And he gave you gifts. He gave you everything as in the body of the church. I always say, you're not here by mistake. Every one of you have been called and was given a gift to serve the community, to serve in the kingdom. Some of us don't know it yet. We haven't spent time to discern it yet. And many of you have been living into your gifts, your call. Today, I'm going to do a little bit different. I'm going to sit here and talk about it all the time. I'm going to show you in a few minutes what that call looks like, these glimpses of kingdom into the world. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity to tell me how you have lived in this kingdom, how you have used your gifts, whether they're gifts of prayer, whether they're gifts of hospitality, gifts of service. But let's talk about it. Because sometimes when we put it out in words, it becomes more real. So we have Paul here this morning reminding us we have everything to be the church. You know, sometimes we sit down and thinking we don't have anything. We don't have enough people. We don't have the best of anything. We need more resources. We need more people. We need more. And all of God is telling us we have everything we need to be the church in this time and in this season. That's the gift of grace. But we live in this place, in this society that's always thinking more is better. More is not always better. What's better is what's happening in your hearts. Is the transformation is happening. Are you being showing the world the love of Christ, what that looks like? Are we giving them a little bit glimpse of the Jesus Christ in the world? Are we giving them a little bit glimpse of what love looks like? Some people don't even know what loves look like. Are we touching their lives? Are we going where the brokenness? You know, I keep saying this is where Jesus is. If we're going to sit there and go, and Jesus said, I didn't come to serve the healthy. I come to serve the sick. Where are the sick is a metaphor. So we're the ones who need of something. The Spirit of God came upon, and that's how we started. The Spirit of God came upon me to proclaim the good news to the needy. He starts his ministry that way. John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to, you all know it, to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus come to give life, and not just some life. He gives life abundantly. That's what you have. The love of Jesus Christ in our life. And he doesn't give us no stingy because he doesn't operate out of scarcity. He operates out of abundance. Amen? Out of abundance. But do we live like we live in a Christ who give us everything we need? And we sit back and say, oh, I can't. I don't know what to do. There's some people. So let me tell you what this looks like. Can I see the next one? This is what happened here last week. These are all the pastors and churches that came to our summit from Lehi Acres all the way back from Maryland, they were here. This is how we gather as a church, become a full church body with one mission to share Christ. From one different nations, different backgrounds. Jesus said he would go to spread it to all nations, to be baptized them in the name of the Lord. That's the Great Commission to all nations, to all cultures, in other words. That's a glimpse of that. The next one. Here we go again. I don't, some of you know this, but we've been part of a ministry, so to speak, with some teachers that came in from Kenya in Africa, who was going to the Florida Gulf Course, and kind of between Rotary and us, we've been the hospitality team for them. This was a reception at the president of this university gave for the students, exchange students. The goal is that they will come here and do their masters. These are already teachers, to do their masters, and hopefully they can start to help with the teaching in the schools for the shortage that's happening. Wesley has been part of the hospitality team for them. Next. This was our charge conference. Those were glimpses of kingdom work. Our charge conference, we had our charge, and we had a time together to fellowship, a time where we sit back and heard from Metro Diaz and heard from her what was happening, the questions were asked, so we can be a glimpse of kingdom going forward. Be informed. They said you got wisdom and spiritual gifts. So we were doing exercising what Paul is saying. Next. You've seen these already. The gifts that we got for the $10,000 gift that we got from Church of Resurrection. We gave $5,000 to this family so they could get a new home. We went. They prepared a meal for us. We prayed together. I think the next slide probably, we prayed together. Get them a roof over their head. Meet them where they are, because they had some funds, but we just closed up that gap. This is a glimpse of kingdom. Next. Here again. During the hurricane, many of you went out to the block of Linda Cox and gave us gifts and show your love and give them what kingdom work looks like. This is what the epiphany looks like. So we are doing it. We're doing it because everybody in here is called to be hands and feet of Christ. Next. Our partnership with Orange Wood. Again, we gave checks. We have breakfast time. The teachers are eating from what you've prepared, giving them food to nourish them throughout the year. And we have that. It didn't stop there. This is just one piece. People have been praying. We heard how Susan is sending cards and encouragement throughout the year. We all have gifts to share the gospel in these tangible ways. Next. Mission and Loops, again, meeting the needs of the community. You are a very generous church. I just want us to recognize that our gifts are being used among the community. Do we have more, or that was it? Now, what else are we doing? Let's share with one another now. This is where we interactive, responsive now. How are you? How are you become a glimpse of kingdom? There are things that you guys are doing that I probably don't know. If I know, others don't know about it. What are some of the things that you're doing? Do we have any?
Hi, I'm Tina, and I'm a survivor of human trafficking. And what I do is I show God's love by praying with girls in my home. I'm like a first responder if they call me and or they need a question or an answer, and I pray with the girls. And that's how I give my service. And that's just one of the ways. And I teach some Bible study of what I know, because I know God didn't pull me out of the pit not to help someone get out of the same pit of addiction, afflictions, and you know what the hell that life puts us through. So, and I am a survivor, and I just, that's what I do. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Now I'm going to speak on behalf of myself and Renee on this one. Unbeknownst to both of us at the same time, a middle school student went to her and a high school student came to me and asked both of us if we would sponsor these students that want to lead a Christian fellowship group at school. One of the things I can tell you about Renee and I is myself, although in school you're not really supposed to push it out there, everyone who's a student there knows that we're Christians, because we do not hide who we are. So that's why these students felt comfortable enough to come up to us and ask us to be the sponsor for their club.
Amen. We can't keep God's word without having us. Every chance I get, I talk about God in my bathroom. It could be a lesson that I teach through Nearpod, if it's like an Easter lesson, or why we celebrate Christmas. Just recently, I did a Nearpod on that. And it's like just introducing them and exposing them to God's world. And I do have students in my class that openly would discuss God in the classroom. I mean, I even joke around with my principal and I say, if I lose my job today and tomorrow, it's because I'm talking about God in the classroom. And guess what? He helped me find a new job. So I'm happy that I'm able to do that along with press. So thank you.
I was right before Christmas, God put it on my heart to start a ministry in this church with getting clothes for babies and toddlers. And he also put it on my heart to do a toy drive. So that's my mission for this year. And if anybody here that wants to help, that knows somebody that has baby clothes, because I know lots of times we have a food pantry here, but we don't have something like that here at the church. And that's something God laid on my heart for me to start here. So a toy drive is like new toys around the holiday times. I know a lot of people don't have toys to give to their kids and stuff like that. So when they come to pick up toys, maybe they see clothes and stuff, and the clothes is free, and it's free, no charge. So that's something I'm looking forward to do. So I'm praying about it very hard.
And I did reach out to find how they start to get that going. So I'll make the calls this week to connect with that community mission to find those markets.
Okay. Yes, good morning. Many of you know that Debbie and I are both members of Rotary Club of Fort Myers South. And a former member of this church, Gary and Gay Tripp, have for a number of years provided an endowment for students at Florida Gulf Coast University, and they provided an endowment for these students. Now, these students are disabled, or they are physically challenged, or they are basically financially challenged. And we provide that. And so this particular year, we have provided full funding for six of those students at Florida Gulf Coast University who have are physically, all of them are physically challenged. And we're just thankful to God that that the trips and the club have gone together and provided the funding. This year, we provided almost $20,000 in scholarships for them to attend their postgraduate education. And if it weren't for that, and the generosity of the people involved with this, and Florida Gulf Coast University matches dollar for dollar for what we provide, they provide an equal amount. So that way we get the full $20,000 worth of benefit. And we're just thankful for that. And going forward, this and we haven't even started 2023 yet, but we will by May of this year. So we are the water's fine for these folks, and we're thankful for that.
It's a good time. No matter what is happening in this world, the psalm reading that goes with this week's lectionary is from Psalms 40. And it talks about it reminding us how God drew us out of the desolate pit. So when you use that phrase, Tina, but getting out of the pit, you know, there are pits in our lives. People are going through so much. Some of us are going through things that we're taking up so much of our time. But God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. He keeps his promises. And when we don't even know what it is, we go to the word of God and read his word and read his promises. Paul is reminding us again, he is faithful. And sometimes all we have to do is just give thanks. The highest praise we can do sometimes, he's saying, hallelujah, thank you, God. He is still working among us. I'm sitting there, I'm looking at that banner back there with the dove coming down into the tongue. We went to the baptism last week, reminding us how the dove came down and settled Jesus as he come out of the water. What came as he came out, the dove came down, and that dove is still coming down on us. It's still coming down on us. Giving us everything, I can't say it enough, that we need to be the church. We stay focused on the purpose. We stay focused on what we are called to do. To show the love of Jesus Christ to this world. The enemy will come and give us distractors. But we have to stay focused. And one of these ways to read this good book, figure out what God is telling you. Sometimes you don't want to just open it and read. There is always something that God can speak to you because he is faithful. Give thanks so we can live into the peace and grace of God. This week was last week came with a lot of emotions. I don't know, we're just talking to them, just spending time in this space. I serve on the district operations team, that's their leadership team. And we had a meeting on Tuesday, and when I hear our superintendent describing some of the churches that she had to go to, where they're talking about information sessions and the behavior of the people, I'm reminded why we had this chapter in the book, why Paul had to remind us who we are in Christ, had to remind us to behave ourselves. Whatever these issues were, we have our own too. No matter how our differences, we can still behave as sanctified people called. I was ashamed. But I still believe and have to stand and believe that God is still in control. It is His church. And we shall not lean upon our own understanding, but that of God. Amen. Don't lose faith in what God has started. Okay, everything He starts, He completes. This is the God we serve. Let us pray. God, thank you for reminding us how the psalmist says to that we shall wait patiently for you. Because you are inclined to hear our cry. We are crying, dear Lord, for your grace, abundance grace to fall upon us. We're crying, dear Lord, for your Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us. Because we trust that you will draw us out of this desolate pit, out of the miry dogs, and set our feet upon a rock, making each one of our steps secure. Lord, we ask for a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to you, dear God, so that many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Oh, it's so good to pray your words, dear Lord Jesus. You gave them up to us. Because happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. For God, you have multiplied your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare to you. Where I proclaim and tell the people their God, there could be more that can be counted. God, we know sacrifice and offering you do not secure, you do not desire, but you have given us that open ears. Burnt offerings and sin offering you do not require. So Lord, I say to you again, here I am. In the scrolls of the book it is written for me. I delight in your will, O God. Your law is written within my heart. Lord, have mercy. Amen.